Healthcare by the numbers. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Senate's version of the Republican healthcare bill is a fiscally conservative approach to healthcare. It involves big cuts to Medicaid. That's the health insurance program for low-income Americans, expanded under Obamacare. It would also release Americans from the requirement to get health insurance. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein joins us live with more on the bill. Dan, give us this bill by the numbers.
So look, Sabri, there are a couple ways that this is going to save some money. Number one, the Senate bill would cut Medicaid actually more than the House plan. I've seen estimates as high as $1 trillion over the next 10 years. Apart from phasing out Medicaid expansion, the real change is that the federal funding for Medicaid is open-ended today. Under this plan, it would cap the federal government's share of how much it pays. Number two, the plan also offers less generous tax subsidies. So the more than 10 million Americans who under Obamacare right now get financial help to buy insurance, they'll get less help, and it's going to be skimpier coverage.
And fewer people covered. Where does all of that money go?
Well, much of it's going to be returned to the wealthiest Americans in the form of tax cuts. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities ran numbers, and they found households with incomes above $1 million would get annual tax cuts averaging about $50,000.
And you said to me before, Dan, that this lays out a conservative philosophy of healthcare. What do you mean by that?
Right. Well, it's the idea that if the government's going to be in the business of offering health insurance, then it's going to be really less generous. I mean, you can think of this, Sabri, as like high deductible plans or catastrophic plans that are going to force consumers to be smarter. What's interesting is that rather than taking on the hospitals or drug companies, this law is going to force consumers to behave differently. And Republicans hope that sends industry market signals to deliver higher value care and services.
I mean, will consumers actually behave differently? I mean, is that good for consumers?
Right. Well, what we know is that people do, when they're in this situation, people spend less money. They do cut back. Studies show as high as 15%. But the thing is that they cut back on stuff that they don't need, which is good. But they also cut back on stuff that they do need. Think of someone with heart disease deciding not to go to the cardiologist. So in the short run, people are probably going to spend less if this does become law. But there's good reason to think it's probably bad for their long-term health. And this could also increase spending down the line.
All right. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein. Thank you.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 1 to 2/10% range, with the Dow future down 43 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.16%.
Hi, David Brancaccio, stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. It is the final week of fundraising before our books close for the year. We're asking you to step up and help support us today so that we can continue the in-depth, independent economic coverage and innovation coverage and business coverage that you rely on. Any amount, even a small donation each month, really does count. We appreciate your support. Give today at marketplace.org/donate.
Most of the solar panels on American houses are made not in America, and they are cheap, which is great if you are an American consumer who wants to buy them to install on your home. But it is not so great if you are a U.S. manufacturer who makes solar panels. U.S. panel makers say those foreign panels are so cheap they can't compete. Two have asked for steep tariffs. Marketplace's sustainability reporter Jed Kim has more.
The Los Angeles office of Green Solar Technologies is humming. In dozens of cubicles, salespeople work their phones.
Hey, David, this is Noah with Green Solar Technologies. You were speaking about a couple months ago with...
Edward Harner is COO of the company. Through his big office windows, you can see hazy mountains in the distance. Harner's more focused on the houses.
The view is great. You see the mountains over there. You can see a couple solar installations in the view. And the only thing that I keep asking myself is, why is there not solar on every roof that I see?
Most of the panels his company puts on rooftops come from Solar World, a U.S. manufacturer. Solar World just joined a petition asking that the International Trade Commission effectively double the import tax on foreign-made panels. That petition was drawn up by another U.S. solar panel maker, Suniva, which has filed for bankruptcy. If their bid for an import tax works, solar power companies, who sell not just panels but all the services around them, could suffer. Harner feels protected by his relationship with Solar World.
If the tariffs actually go up for imported panels, then we're going to be hurt less than others.
But still hurt. Green Solar Technology installs about 30% foreign-made panels. Most solar panels used in the U.S. are imported, many from China. Companies rely on that cheap supply.
We consider this a significant risk to the solar industry.
Timothy Fox is with Clearview Energy Partners. He says prices of solar equipment would at least double. And that would slow down the entire sector, from consultants to installers, says Abigail Ross Hopper. She's president of the Solar Energy Industries Association.
If the relief that this company has proposed is granted, we would lose approximately 88,000 jobs across the country.
But U.S. Solar weathered previous taxes on imports just fine, says Tim Brightbill with law firm Wiley Ryan, which represents Solar World. He says the industry had projected tens of thousands of lost jobs when Solar World won previous trade disputes.
Instead, solar demand kept going up, prices stabilized to help manufacturing, and solar jobs went up.
If the International Trade Commission sides with Suniva and Solar World, their petition goes to the White House. President Trump may not care whether the U.S. generates more power from solar, but he does want manufacturing jobs, and making solar panels counts. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Remember that whole do not call list for telemarketers? Yeah, not working out so great. The Federal Trade Commission saw a 50% increase in complaints over unwanted telemarketing calls last year. Some of those complaints may have been about one robocaller in Miami who allegedly made 100 million robocalls using fake local numbers to increase the chances you'd pick up. The FTC wants to fine him $120 million. In New York, I'm Suri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.